Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. What is the most important goal in your life? Is it to become rich and famous to achieve some kind of worldly fame and acclaim? Is it to become president of some great corporation? Is it to become a movie star, a sports star? Is it to just be an ordinary person and live a successful life? We must ask, is your life centered on physical goals only? In today's materialistic world, it seems that people have come to worship so-called celebrities and success, so-called worldly success, more than they worship God. When Oprah Winfrey is introduced to her television audience, their faces glow with worshipful adoration. There are a number of other celebrities that evoke the same kind of response from their fans, and we see the advent more and more of talk shows in which celebrities are interviewed and they talk about their life and people just fawn over their life and what is happening. Through the marvels of electronic media, the peoples of the Western world have come to the point that they're living their lives vicariously. That is, they're living their lives through others. It is not just Oprah Winfrey or Tom Cruise that is living the exciting lives that are portrayed in the media. They too are living vicariously the same lives as the celebrities. Or they may live in some kind of hovel, some kind of little hut. They may live in a one-room apartment. They may live in a nice home. But at the same time, they're all living their lives vicariously through celebrities. And celebrity worship is one of the, I guess you would call it one of the fastest growing religions in the Western world. News-oriented magazines are going belly up, going out of business, going bankrupt, while publications that deal with people and personalities are on the rise. Celebrity worship is the latest form of escapism and idolatry in the United States. So we find people being swept away into Never Never Land and finding some kind of peace and satisfaction by peering into the lives of celebrities. It's sort of like a legal kind of voyeurism where you peer into the lives of these people and you sort of ooh and awe over their lives. But what are the fruits of celebrity worship? Western society is fragmenting at an alarming rate and far too many people are living lives of quiet desperation. When all is said and done and you meet your maker, what will be the basis of your judgment? Will the master ask, what was your annual income? What offices did you hold? Were you ever president of a major corporation? How many movies did you star in? How many home runs did you hit? How many touchdowns did you score? How large was your home? How big was your car? No, the master is not going to ask any of these questions. So what if you achieve your physical goals here on earth? Then what? When all is said and done, none of these will be the basis of your judgment. The basis of your judgment will be the living Word of God. Christ summed it up in Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And I hasten to add that soul is not an entity that you possess as a separate entity abiding within you that's immortal. Soul is your very life essence. Whether or not you are going to live eternally or whether or not you are going to be destroyed in Gehenna fire. The Bible says very clearly, the soul that sins, it shall die. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you have to receive that gift from God if you're going to live forever. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now listen to this statement, how strong it is. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Are those the things that you love? John goes on to write, "And the world is passing away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever." All of us must ask ourselves, are we doing the will of God? Are we going to abide forever? Or are we going to be destroyed in Gehenna fire and experience the second death as John writes about in Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15? All things are not going to continue as from the beginning of this present evil age. This present evil age is going to come to a screeching halt. Oh yes, the scoffers are there, just as Peter writes about in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, where they say, "Oh, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as from the beginning." And people talk about, well, this is just another cycle, that's another cycle, and we'll go through that cycle, this cycle, but it'll all level out. Well, I'm here to say on the authority of Jesus Christ that that is not the situation, that this present evil age is going to come to a halt, and God is going to send Jesus Christ back to this earth, and he is going to judge the world in righteousness. And you will have to give an account for what you have based your life on. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 14, verses 11 through 12, "For it is written, this is the word of God, as I live, says the Eternal, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." But in some cases, that bowing the knee and confessing to God will be too late, because they have an unrepentant heart, they are incorrigibly wicked, and they will be destroyed in the lake of fire. He goes on in Romans 14:12, "So then every one of us shall give account to himself to God." Every person who has ever drawn breath, many of those fetuses that have been sucked out of the womb, oh, this is not the only day of salvation. There's coming a period of time in when God is going to resurrect the dead, everyone who has ever lived, some to eternal life and some to judgment, just as Christ brings out in John 5, starting in verse 26 and going to the end of the chapter. Read it for yourself. Start in John 5, verse 26, and go to the end of the chapter. At this time, the peoples of this present evil age, when this time of judgment comes, they'll come to understand that achieving your spiritual goal is far more important than all the things that this world has to offer. Your life shall have been in vain if salvation is not the outcome of your sojourn here on the earth. Romans 2:7, "To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life." Are you seeking for honor, immortality, eternal life in the kingdom of God? Will you be satisfied with anything less than glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life in the kingdom of God? Would you rather be rich physically or spiritually? Do you know that you can have greater peace and a richer, fuller life than the richest person on earth by coming to really know God in Christ? The celebrities of this world have things reversed. They generally become rich and famous, and then they begin to pursue the spiritual side of things, and really that spiritual pursuit that most of them have, ranging from going after the Church of Scientology to the Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism, really is not the religion that is revealed in the pages of your Bible. It is not the source of true spirituality. It is not the source for eternal life. Oh, doing good works are fine, but at the same time, what about the example you set? What are you telling the world when you leave your wife and your children and you marry someone else and then you start talking about your charity, your good works, how you're helping people around the world, and yet at the same time you are broadcasting to the peoples of the world a lifestyle that will lead to misery, suffering, agony, pain, and the very things that rips the heart out of men and women and children all over the face of the earth. Christ instructs us in Matthew 6:33, "Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Does this mean that you're going to become rich in this world? No, not necessarily. We have all the prosperity preachers out there telling you that Christ wants you to be rich in the material sense right now. That is a damnable lie. That is a lie. And so many people are falling for that lie, and they sit there and ooh and ah and nod their heads as these people spew out their little funny tales concerning what they have achieved in their lives. And people go for it, but yet you don't really see their lives change. They have some kind of emotional lift or some kind of false motivation that leads them to believe that if they will do certain things, read the Bible or whatever, that they're going to get rich. It's just not so. The spiritual life, the truly spiritual life, is the only life really worth living. The spiritual life is the only life that will sustain you when all is said and done. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him." Are you seeking for glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life? Are you laying up for yourself treasure in heaven where thieves cannot break through and steal, where moths cannot eat it up, rust does not corrode? There is no one who can take it from you, no economic crash, no depression, nothing in this world that the world can do to take away from you your crown of life. Once you have put your faith and trust in God and Jesus Christ and you begin to live faithfully as they instruct you in his word, it doesn't mean that you cannot fall away, because you can fall away. The Apostle Paul talked about that he tried to keep himself under submission lest he too become a castaway. In Galatians chapter 5, he talks about falling from grace. So you can fall from grace. But at the same time, you can know God and you can know Jesus Christ. If you're seeking for honor, glory, and immortality, eternal life in the kingdom of God, when we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll show you how that you can seek glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life in the kingdom of God. If you would really like to begin that awesome quest for eternal life, for glory, honor, immortality, eternal life in the kingdom of God, then you need to call for our free booklet, The Road to Eternal Life. The Road to Eternal Life will take you step by step down that path that leads to eternal life and glory and honor, immortality in the kingdom of God. You were born for a great transcendental purpose to rule and reign with God and Christ as kings and priests in the kingdom of God. And at the same time, we will send you a free full-length book titled The Real Jesus. You need to know the real Jesus, not the Jesus that some preach, the weak, effeminate Jesus who is there pleading with mournful eyes and a mournful expression on his face, wanting you to come to him. We're talking about the Jesus of authority, of power, the one who taught with authority, not as the scribes and Pharisees. These two booklets can be yours free of charge by simply calling our toll-free number. The toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. Are you seeking for glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life in the kingdom of God? Well, I hope you are, but if you're not, you can begin your quest today, and you can call for those booklets that we just mentioned there in our break from the program. Satan hates you. He would like to see you thrown off course and destroyed. He wants to blind your eyes and your heart and mind to the truth of the glorious gospel that will set you free, that will give you the peace of mind that you seek, that you desire, that you want. You'll never get it through celebrity worship. You'll never get it through living your lives vicariously through anyone else. The gospel truth is the only way whereby you can be free of fear, ignorance, superstition, and the dogmas of man. How superstitious are the peoples of the world today? You won't believe some of the things that are happening in the world, in the world of so-called enlightenment, in the age of knowledge being increased so incredibly quickly all around the world. This is from Reuters News Service, Bangkok, Thailand. With Asian tourists still shunning its southern beaches, Thailand is calling in a revered Chinese sea goddess to ward off the restive spirits of the thousands who died in last December's tsunami. A statue of Godmother Ruby, known as Mazu in Chinese, will be brought to the Thai island of Phuket from the Chinese coastal province of Fujian next month for ghost-clearing rites. This was announced by one of the officers of tourism in Thailand. After the tsunami, Taiwanese, Hong Kong, Chinese, and other East Asians dare not come because they don't want to visit places where mass deaths took place. So they're bringing in this Mazu, a Taoist goddess of the sea, and this goddess has a huge following among fishermen and shipworkers in coastal provinces of southern China and Taiwan. So they're going to set up a goddess that is no goddess. It's just made out of so much wood, hay, stubble, stone. Yet we believe that we're living in the most enlightened age in human history. Truly the God of this world has blinded the peoples of this world to the glorious light of the gospel. Even many of the people who read the Word of God and get started on the road to eternal life are thrown off course, just as Christ describes in the parable of the sower, where he says, by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Christ warns us in Luke 24, verse 34, to take heed to ourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. That day is the day in which this present evil age is going to be brought into judgment. So what about you? Would you like to become richer and more blessed than the most famous of all the personalities that people are fawning over today? Peace is one of the bywords of our day. The word peace is the crying hue of people around the world, from world leaders to the man on the street. But the Bible states that humans in and of themselves do not know the way to peace. Do you really know and understand the key elements of salvation and what will really bring you peace and deliverance? Some people do a lot of talking about just about anything you want to name, and they do a lot of talking about religious things and about salvation without even really examining the scriptures. They just have some kind of casual knowledge of it and listen to others and think some way, somehow, when all is said and done, that they're going to go to heaven, that they're going to have eternal life. Well, first of all, the Bible makes it clear that we're not going to heaven in the eternal sense. That is, we're going to rule and reign here on the earth. The first element in the salvation process is to come to know God and Christ and develop a relationship with them. No, there are not many gods. There are many things that pose as gods, and people place their affection and their attention on things like this Chinese sea goddess, Mazu, but these are not really gods. They're made of either stone or, in some cases, some kind of precious gem such as jade, where one of the Buddhas is carved out. And in fact, you can see this Buddha in the old city there in Thailand, in Bangkok. But these are not really gods. The true God is revealed in the pages of your Bible. There is no salvation, no eternal life, no deliverance from sin and death apart from God and Christ, the God of the Bible. You must ask, why does God care whether I live or die? And perhaps sometimes you've asked that question. Why does God care whether I live or die? God created you for a great transcendental purpose. This is why He cares. He created you to become a son or daughter in His family. He created you to become a king and priest in the kingdom of God. The reason He created you for this great purpose is because God is love. As our loving Creator and Father, He wants to share who He is and what He is with us. God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is eternal, immortal, invisible. But in the kingdom of God, as it says, we're going to look upon His face. You can read it for yourself in Revelation 22, verses 4 and 5. This will not just be some kind of, quote, beatific vision, because we will be known as we are, and we shall be like Him in resurrection. The Bible teaches us that it is more blessed to give than to receive. One of God's greatest pleasures will be to give us the kingdom of God. God created the angelic realm to minister to us, the heirs of salvation, Hebrews 1:14. But one of the archangels, Lucifer, rebelled against God and became our adversary, Satan the devil. Satan deceived Adam and Eve, and humans were cut off from the tree of life, the Spirit of God, the only essence that will bridge the gap between our mortality and God's immortality. But because God loved us so much, He sent His only begotten Son into the world to redeem the world from sin and death. No one can receive the Spirit of God and become a son of God apart from the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Yes, Christianity does teach an exclusive way to salvation, but at the same time, Christianity is not a respecter of persons, and Christianity is inclusive, and God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, regardless of their national origin, their ethnic origin, their race, their color. God wants everyone to come to repentance, not willing that any should perish. Acts 4:12 states, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No, you're not going to be saved by some statue of Buddha. You're not going to be saved by some appearance of Krishna. You're not going to be saved by any grand mahi coming on the scene. The only way that you can be saved is through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and gave Himself for us. He loved us so much that He gave His life for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that He lay down His life for His friends. And God, through Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us. It is obvious that the first keys to salvation is to develop a relationship with God in Christ. In order to do this, you must open the pages of your Bible. Begin the quest for eternal life. We have a booklet titled, The Road to Eternal Life. Call for that booklet, 1-888-886-5614, 1-888-886-5614. The Road to Eternal Life will help guide you in your quest for eternal life. While we are yet in our sins, we're counted as enemies of God, but through repentance and faith in the sacrifice of Christ, we can make peace with God. Remember, I stated that the Bible speaks of two kinds of peace: peace with God and the peace of God. Making peace with God is the first step toward achieving the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Note how the Apostle Paul succinctly explains the process of being reconciled to God, and then how one is ultimately saved. In Romans 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We love him because he first loved us. He made the first move. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What does it mean, justified by his blood? When Jesus Christ gave his life on the stake and his blood was shed, he gave his life for us because the wages of sin is death. Why did Jesus Christ have to die? Because we are sinners and the death penalty is on our head unless we accept his sacrifice for the remission of sins that are past. He pays the price for us and we are justified. The penalty, the fine, has been paid. Then he says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, by him living in us. How does he live in us? We have to come to the point that we have to understand who we are and what we are. We are mortal, made from the dust of the earth, subject to sin and death. And sin, what is sin? The Bible says clearly in 1 John 3:4, sin is the transgression of God's immutable spiritual law. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have heard, and you might have come to falsely believe, that all one has to do to be saved is to make some kind of public profession of belief in Christ. Faith is a necessary element of salvation, but Christ did not come to save us in our sins. He came to save us out of our sins. In other words, one cannot profess to believe in Christ and not repent of their sins. Note what the Apostle Peter states in his inspired sermon on the day of Pentecost, 31 A.D., the day the Holy Spirit was sent to the New Covenant Church. Peter states, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yes, eternal life is a gift, but we have to repent in order to receive it. Christ states clearly in John 15 and verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, then you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Christ states that he spoke these things, that our joy might be full. And what are the things that he spoke? Abide in me, that is, live in me. How do we live in Christ? John 6:63 states, it is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. When we eat of the Word of God and live by the Word of God, we're abiding in God in Christ. When we obey God, then we are bearing fruit and glorifying God. By doing these things, we begin to experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. This kind of peace cannot be achieved through any other means. No amount of worldly fame and acclaim can ever bring this kind of peace. This kind of peace sets us free from the cares of this world and makes you among the richest people on the earth. So what about you? Will you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness so all these things can be added unto you? And be sure to be tuned to this same station next week at this same time for World News and Prophecy. We have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, The Road to Eternal Life, and the full-length booklet, The Real Jesus, all you have to do is call our toll-free number. No one will call on to you. There will be no follow-up. And we don't ask for money, in that we are almost totally unique with regard to religious programming. So call that toll-free number. Leave your name and address, and we'll send you the free booklets, The Road to Eternal Life, The Real Jesus. The toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 1-888-886-5614. And until next time, this is Donald Ward for World News and Prophecy.